All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, let me just share something with us briefly today. We're not going to do any much praying today. I just want to explain something. Actually, this morning, my wife and I were praying about something, and then I just made a statement and we were praying, and I said, I should share that with people again. Prayer is very easy. It's just say the thing that you want done, and then you will see God do it. One of the problems you have about prayer and Christianity is that we have complicated it so much that some people think they don't know how to pray. Alright? I'm just going to explain something. Just summarize many things we have said here and there over time. And then we'll leave it there. The book of James chapter 1. It's not something I'm going to say that's absolutely... I'm not saying we have not discussed before, but we just want to crystallize everything into a single message. I believe it will bless many people to hear this. They are going to listen to it on radio, on the tapes, on the internet, and all of that. So let's discuss from the book of James chapter 1. Let me read from verse 5. Where I'm going is verse 6, but as usual, I like to read a few verses so as to put it in context. We'll read 5 to 8. It said, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Now, this is a condition upon which he will receive that. He said, but let him ask in faith without doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. He said, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now, this is the point here. He said that God gives to people generously. God does not withhold from people what they need, all right, if they ask him properly. Now, and James said so, further down, he said, you have not, quickly just go down to that portion. James chapter 4, let's quickly read that. What is the source of quarrels, he said in verse 1, and conflict among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members, that is your desires, things that you want to have and claim you're enjoying life with? He said, you lost, that is your, what your pleasure is doing to you. You lost and you do not have. So you commit murder. And you are envious and cannot obtain. So you fight and quarrel. You do not have, that is the foundation of all of these problems in your life. The foundation of all the quarrels and the committing of murder, both literally and figuratively. If I believe mostly figuratively here from what James is saying. The foundation of everything is that you do not ask. Do you understand the point? He said you do not ask. Now, he now said in verse 3, when you do ask, you don't receive. That is, you don't have because you don't ask. And when you don't ask, when you do ask, you don't receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasures. All right? He now said in verse 4, you adulteresses. Do you not know? Why is this in adulteresses, please? You have to understand. He wasn't talking to women alone. It's just that when you are talking about the relationship between man and God, that human beings are seen as a wife. Do you get my point? And God is seen as a husband. Do you understand what I mean? So that's why the nation of Israel will commit adultery. And because they were like God's bride. So when he said, you adulteresses, he was talking to everybody, male and female. Do you follow what I mean? He said, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity or hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Let me just stop there, all right? Please, I want you to just understand something here. That's what I'm trying to explain. Now, I think I should read some things further. I want to read one more verse, verse 7. It says, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, if you go and read John says something in 1 John. He said that that's chapter 5, that this is the confidence we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Are you getting my point? Now, I want to just explain that briefly. So let me title my message today, how to ask and ask correctly, all right? It's a good one, isn't it? It's simple to the point. How to ask and ask correctly. Now, James has explained something to us here, that the major problem, why we have problems of quarrels, of troubles at home and in our private lives, is because we don't have some things. But the main foundation of that is the fact that we don't ask correctly. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, if we were to ask God for things correctly, we would discover many of the problems in our lives, they are gone. Do you understand what I mean? Now, please, that's my message. It's just taken from this book of John. And since we're in the school of prayer, it's not, like I said before, it's not every time we pray. Other times, we just teach so that we learn how to pray properly. And what I'm teaching today is how to ask correctly. Now, there are many things we have heard people say. There's one I hear all the time, and of course I've told you before that I don't believe it is true. People say the secret to receiving is giving. I said it's not true. It's amazing that we just insist upon that thing when the Bible never said so. The secret to receiving, James said, is what? Asking, and asking properly. That's the secret to receiving. Alright? Giving is a good thing, and giving is done for the right motives. Alright? We don't give because we want to get. We give because we should give. I mean, you don't breathe because you want your neighbor to breathe. You breathe because breathing is part of your system. Are you getting my point? You are not breathing just because you want to live long for your children. You just breathe. Do you understand my point? And many other things are added to your breathing. That's what I'm saying. Long life is added to your breathing. Your ability to bless other people is added to your breathing. But the reason why you breathe is because you just have to breathe. That's just life. I hope you know you're not even breathing to stay alive. No, you breathe because you were born to breathe. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm saying. The child that is born today doesn't know the concept of staying alive. He doesn't know, but he has to breathe. Do you follow? In fact, the moment he comes out of the womb, what causes the fighting and the quarrels is because he wonders, the person who was breathing for me, why did she suddenly stop? Do you understand? And then we know this one in medicine. Then the carbon dioxide level in the child's blood starts building up rapidly. And then the brain picks that signal and it fires straight down to the lungs. So the child takes a breath automatically without understanding the concept of living. Do you understand my point? Kindness is in the heart of the believer. Alright? Love is in the heart of the child of God. Therefore, that's why we give. We are givers by nature. Please go and read that tract, Cheerful Giver. God said, Solomon said, God made men upright, but he sought out many devices. One of the reasons why Christians don't live up to the life that God put inside them is because they sought out many other devices. Go and read that in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Alright? Solomon said it. That is, when we become afraid, we suddenly stop being givers. Do you understand my point? When we are worried about tomorrow, we suddenly stop being givers. Otherwise, it's the nature of Christ that is in us. So I'm bringing out something here. Therefore, you find that the key to getting everything you require in life is what? Asking. That's all. And listen, I can tell you this. It's playing out in my life. As a matter of fact, you heard me say it before. Let me say it again. There is nothing. Let me say it so that you know I know what I'm saying. There is not anything that I desire in life that I ask God for that I don't get. I'll explain something along the line. What will upset some people is that I don't always get them when I think I should have them. And as I've been growing, I have realized how not to harass God with time. I have discovered that God knows more about time than I do. Do you follow what I'm saying? That one I have discovered. That God knows the times of my life better than me. Please, I want you to understand that. So, I don't harass God about timing. So, I may want to have something now, alright? And then, sometimes you get it now. Other times you get it now, rarely. Most times you get it later. But, this is what is sure. I have proved that from personal experience. There's nothing that I have really wanted. And I continued to desire that God has not, that God does not give. That's a better way. Because there are things I've desired also. And suddenly I see the events of life are playing out in such a manner that I know. You know, Elijah looked. He was praying. Alright? He told his servant, go and check. And his servant was looking. Alpha, he said nothing. Everywhere just empty, buying like that. So Elijah said, no worries, something will change just now. Just watch me. Then he go pray. Alpha, said nothing. The guy kept praying. There at the point in time, he saw a cloud. He said, about the size of a man's hand. Elijah said, it's enough. All right, let's run. He's in his coming. What I'm trying to say is that there are times, even as a prophet, all right, you look at the event and you know what is about to happen. And there are things I have desired, all right, from the hand of the Lord. And I just look at the event as if I've seen the cloud. The cloud is gathering. I'm no longer like praying, oh God, oh, let this happen. I just know that, oh yeah, get ready. Alright? Something is about to happen, like Pastor Paul would say. Alright? And that's a matter of, I want you to understand that thing. God indeed answers prayers. I preached that message sometime last year. He answers prayers. What happens a lot of times is that we don't understand the answer to prayer. A lot of times we ask things that we do not understand. two guys came to Jesus Christ, amongst the disciples, apostles actually. Grant that will sit on your left and your right. Jesus said now, and that's my message, part of it today. Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking for. That's what I want to say from that. That is, there are times we make requests of the Lord, and we don't even have an idea of what we're talking about. There are many people, and I'm talking about how to pray, how to ask, and ask properly. There are many people who are praying as an example. They want to be governor. Do you know why? Because all they think about concerning being a governor is that convoy that passes. And the fact that the man drives very nice rides, and you know, do you follow my point? They don't know anything more than that concerning being a governor. Therefore, when they go and pray, God looks and says, you bobos, you don't know what you're asking for. There are people who are praying that, God, I want to drive, you know, that big Jeep, I want a Ford Explorer, you know, big one. Why? Because when I enter it, I will look like, me too, I have entered something big. God said, can you buy the fuel that goes with it? So, are you getting my point? So when you see a little boy, he said, yeah, three students on campus. And they say, ask God for anything. Say, Ford Explorer. God says, you don't know what you're asking for. You don't know that Ford Explorer probably has a tank of about 120 liters. And at 65 naira a liter, all right, it's going to be a monthly allowance to fill the tank. And if you start driving it, the fuel will finish. Recently, I bought a phone for my son. He was feeling happy. So I explained to him, you call only two people. Your mother and your father. Because if you call you won't pay so much. He said, I want to call my grandmother. I said, no, you will flash your grandmother. Then your grandmother will call you back. Then my wife said they should buy him credit one day. 400 naira. I heard when they loaded 400 naira. So next day, my mom traveled. I said, call your mother. Ask her when she's coming. Said, daddy, I don't have credit. Hey, that's my son again. I said, what? You don't have credit. I was here yesterday when 400 naira credit was put on your phone. What did you do with it? I called my grandmother. Ah, you called an MTN line. If he called me, it's 2 naira a minute. If he called his mother, it's 2 naira a minute. You call your grandmother, it's 24 naira a minute. Aha, I said, that's so. Okay. I said, all right. You better continue listening to radio with your phone, because I cannot be giving you 400 naira credit a day. So imagine a little boy asking for food. He thinks that because he sees me on the phone all the time, he doesn't know that every time you talk like that, there's blood transfusion into Zane. You are donating blood. And you know, of course, he doesn't understand the concept of paying for credit, putting it on the phone, and the thing gets exhausted, the guy does your whole phone like this, and you begin calling everybody. And that's the problem with a lot of us in life. We don't know what we are asking for. Yeah, there are two young men who came here one day. They heard, I don't know, somebody deceived them. Somebody must have deceived them. I don't believe somebody told them this. Somebody deceived them. They came all the way from Osaka for a seminar. They were not listening to me, they were all waiting. A block listen maker after that, they want to see pastor. Say, what is the problem? That they hear that pastor helps people go abroad. You're not laughing. I'm surprised. You don't find it funny. Which pastor? Listen maker look at them like, when did this guy, Pastor Bank, is that arranging visa? And what? Whoa, who? To where? Like I said in one of the books, I told this in one of my books. I said, I think somebody deceived those young boys. Maybe they had this crazy idea they want to go abroad by force. So the person now said, go and see Pastor Bank. Knowing that by the time I finish preaching, they will change their minds. But what they heard was a different matter. I just see, where you want to go? You want to go and make nothing spoil. Just go and go. They came all the way from Osaka. Now, this is the point. I looked at two of them. Obviously, they don't have sense. Do I need to tell you more than that? From the story I've told you now, they don't have sense. Do they have? You go and meet it, an absolute stranger to you, that you want to go abroad and he will arrange. So, sense they lack. Their very presence shows that they don't have money. Yes, because they had nowhere to stay, it was night. We had to advise them to go and browse all night to survive the night. Do you follow my point? That's it, too. All right? Looking at them, I don't think they have any serious skill. Now, you put those three things together, they want me to... Assuming I could, that would be that would be the wrongest set of people to help. People without sense, without skill, without money. Do you follow my point? Because suffering, even if I could transport them, just land in the streets of New York, hunger will beat the living daylights out of the guys. You know, you've not seen the kind of thing. I've heard this before. A guy, after struggling to get to Europe, one day he submitted himself for deportation. That's, since I cannot pay my way back home, please, I'm an illegal immigrant. Look at me. I snuck into this country. How do you drive people away? Please deport me, I beg you. Now, what have I said? Those two young women, they did not know what they were what asking for. It happens. All right? And that's why sometimes it appears as if the prayers that we are praying, all right, they are delayed. Please, that's why it appears sometimes as if the prayers are delayed, because we don't know exactly what we're asking for. And let me say something, which I've said several times. God never wastes time. Do you get my point? He never wastes time. The only thing he does is to use the time to build up something in you and to build up something around you. Give you an example. Joshua. Joshua believed God, but did not enter the promised land one day ahead of the rest of the nation of Israel. Why? If he had entered the promised land one day ahead of them, what would he have been doing there? Leading the Gentiles? He was supposed to be a leader in Israel. So he had to wait until the rest of Israel, they were ready to enter into the promised land. I'm one person that believes very strongly in God's appointed wife. Amen? I never do know in university. People go to talk, you were praying, you receive, you see vision, you want to see vision, who you are supposed to marry. I said, God is very wise. If he had shown me the vision of one small girl in secondary school that time, I would have cast out that demon by force. Because that's exactly where my wife was. When I would have been praying that kind of prayer. And we did not meet for the next maybe 10 years. And I could not have married somebody else according to the order of God. So you can't force God to show you vision. Are you getting my point? There are visions that don't... I've been restraining myself from preaching that message again. The issue on how to wait for God. Because I've preached it two or three different ways. So I don't know how else to preach it. So I don't feel like I'm preaching the same thing again. But we must learn to wait for God's timing in everything. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? It's very vital. And God is using many people to prepare for you where you are supposed to go to. And until, like Jesus said that, in my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. He now said what? I'm going ahead to go and prepare a place for you. Then when your place is prepared, I will now come back and come and receive you to myself. Many people want to jump into places where that has not yet been fully prepared for them. Do you follow the point? Meanwhile, God is working hard, trying to bring forth that thing to full preparation before he brings them into it. I'm explaining some of the reasons why it appears as if God has not answered your prayers. Do you follow what I'm saying? Now, I'm still getting back to my main message for the day, all right? And what's the message? It concerns this how to ask correctly. Now, just one thing I want to share with us today, which, like I said, I've shared here and there, again and again. When we're talking about the hundredfold blessing, was it on that or where I talked about the purification of the heart? Can you remember that? When we're talking about the matter of prayers, that one of the things we do in prayer, right, is to purify our hearts, all right? That's one of the things we do. One of the most important things we do with prayer, all right, is to purify our hearts. And I talk about somewhere, I don't know exactly what we're discussing. They're talking about purification of motives also, all right? Now, what I want to bring out today is the issue of understanding, let me add that one to it again, exactly what it is that you're asking for. Now, that is very important. You know, we said something from the book of James. Let me explain that thing to us again. James said something here. Listen to it. He said, let him ask in faith, verse 6, James chapter 1, without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. And such a man, he said in verse 7, should not expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, because he's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. One of the major reasons why God cannot give us the things we're asking for is because we are unstable. And one of the reasons, one of the major reasons why we are unstable is because we don't understand really what is motivating us. Now, this is not just a matter of what we're asking for, but what really is motivating us to ask for that thing. Let me explain what I'm trying to say. Like James and John came to Jesus and said, grant that we sit on your left and on your right. Look, what is motivating them was this desire, which was still in them as natural human beings, to be important. Let me use that expression. And not understanding what they were asking for. All right, first, what was motivating them was they wanted to be important. All right? And number two, they did not know what they were asking for. Jesus said that one. But let's not talk about that. Let's talk about what was pushing them. What was pushing them was the issue of, I want to be important. And Jesus had to explain to them, you see, you don't understand that the concept for what you are asking for, if you want to reach it in life, you must understand that whosoever will be the most important person amongst you must be the servant of all. So that next time you come praying, you should pray and say, how can I serve people? I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to say. Now, this is not about a matter of who should sit on your left or on your right. What was driving these two boys, all right? If I may use the expression, all right, is that they wanted to be important. And Jesus said, no, you don't get the point. He explained to them why they were now quarreling. He said, no, don't bother quarreling. The guys missed the point. Whosoever will be the greatest amongst you, he must be the most serving one amongst you. That the service is a pathway, all right, in God's kingdom to greatness. Therefore, a man shouldn't come and say, look, I want to be great. He should go back and say, I want to serve. That's the order of God's kingdom. What am I saying? What was pushing them, all right, was not just the post. It was a weakness. Now, listen to this now. It was a weakness inside their hearts. I was sharing with Kingsley on Saturday here after our meeting. So we're just, something led to it. We're now discussing about this matter of prayer. In fact, it's part of the things I'm sharing with us today. And I said, you know the problem with a lot of people? That they are asking for from God what God cannot give them. Even if God smoked. Alright? I mean, when I say smoke now, you know, Indian hemp, cocaine, alright? On top of that, he got drunk and then he fell asleep. He can't grant it. A lot of people are asking for such things. And let me explain why. Let me give you this very practical example. Yeah, a man may come, and this example I gave to Kingsley that Saturday. They'll say that, God, I want a house. Give me a house. Give me a house. Houses are good. Amen. If you want a house, you should ask for a house. Amen. And may God bless you with your own house. Amen. May you have 3 self. Amen. And if you desire 200, may God give you 270. Amen. I don't know why I always come with those odd figures, all right? But 270 is better than 200. So if you want 200, God will give you 270. All right? And God can do it, and that's not a big deal. And God has no nothing. He's in our house. He does like this. 200 is built. He does like this. 1 million collapses. So it's not an issue. I mean, a few months ago in Haiti, there was one small, you know, God was just passing by. And as usual, when God is walking past, things will shake, all right? It's true. Now go and check when Elijah went to the mountain. All right, you know things were shaking when God was just passing by Haiti. All right, after that, God vexed that day. Actually, he was very angry. I know. All right, so in his anger, he didn't just walk by; he stomped past. So the whole of Haiti shook. The president was sitting in the after the whole earthquake and everything. He was sitting in the airport. Okay, what are you doing here? He said he has to walk and help coordinate everything. And even if he wanted to go home, there's no house to go to because the best built building in the country, the presidential palace collapsed. So a house is nothing as far as God is concerned. Amen. All right. So this is what I'm trying to make. But some people we ask and God will say, "Lie, lie! I'm not giving you anything." Other people we ask and God will. How many do you ask for? You ask for one. Why don't you just manage two? I just hold these two first. The one is okay. Yeah, wait. You will soon have visitors. So God gives him two. He asks for just his nice bungalow. God gives him 2-wing duplex and all of that, terrace building, and you know, put, you know, God just bless the guy anyhow. You know the difference? The difference is that the first person was asking that God refused to give to. He said, God is saying that you are asking for a replacement for me in your life. This is the point. Let me explain. The man has looked at the way the country is going. When I came to Enugu, cement was 700 naira a bag. Now it is 1,900. Hey, he looks at civil service, say one day if he lay people off or the company where he's working. So after considering everything, out of fear of tomorrow, he kneels down and says, God, please, give me a house. And God sees his heart. Are you getting my point? And says, this man is motivated by fear of tomorrow. The fear of tomorrow is what brought him to this point. Now, he wants security in a material thing. In a building, like we said earlier, that means nothing, can easily be built, can easily collapse. Do you understand the logic? All right? In that one, all right, God looks at it and therefore he says, no, I can't give it to him. He's asking for a replacement for me. I don't know whether I get my point. He's asking for security for tomorrow. I can't. That's one thing God does not ever give his children as a material possession, security for tomorrow. No, he never does that. He said, no, take no thought for tomorrow. I must be your security for tomorrow. So if anybody is asking for money so that at least I'm sure that my children will be able to go to school, and how old are they? The oldest one is 10 years old. The money is supposed to be for university. Are you getting the point? So he was trying to gather so that in the next few years when they will start going to university, you have enough. God will deny him totally. You know, God will answer you quicker. If you say, Lord, I want to just sleep in the house for 1 week. After that, I set it on fire. You are likely to get an answer quicker than when you have a serious and cogent reason which has to do with the integrity of your tomorrow to present. So the human being, you say that, no, this is more reasonable. This is a reasonable person. He knows. You follow what I'm saying? Security is important. This is a wasteful man. God said, this wasteful man, you know why he's wasteful? He's not attached to material things. It's not because he's careless, but because he knows that what is a big deal is not a house. We'll live in it for 1 week, that's somebody, and then we'll move on to another one. Anytime we need, we can ask. That kind of person gets faster. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm talking about the motive behind what you're asking for. And believe me, if you want to pray, it's one assignment that I give you. First thing, settle down and say, why am I asking? Why? There's one illustration I like to use. A man comes and he's praying. Say, who has a special prayer point? Put up his hand. Sow a seed towards his prayer point. He sows a seed. Join hands towards his prayer point. He joins hands. What is the prayer point? I want my brother to be saved. Very noble prayer point, right? But God starts laughing in heaven. This boy, forget. If it's because of you, I will kill that guy and send him to hell. Now, thank God it's not because of you. He said, why? Because the young man is in university. His brother has a lot of money. Or at least he earns a lot of money. Except that the guy smokes. He drinks. He womanizes. He doesn't believe in church at all. Therefore, his brother gets little of the money he has. Do you understand my point? So the young boy is in school struggling. He's having to sell recharge cards part-time to make ends meet. Because he doesn't have parents to take care of him. Either they are not there or they are not able. This is a brother that he has. But the brother is always funding all his girls and all his waka about. So money never trickles down to this bobo. So bobo starts praying. Are you getting my point? And he fasts. And he fasts. And he prays. And he prays. And God does not answer. Why? Because it is not the love for his brother's soul that's pushing him. It's just that in his heart he's thinking that once this guy gives his life to Christ, money will stop disappearing in all kinds of ways. And then because I'm a believer, his heart will turn towards me and I'll be getting some money. And therefore God does not answer the prayer. Not because God does not answer prayers, because his prayer does not make sense. But on the surface, towards the salvation of your family member, begin to declare. He will declare. But you know what God is hearing? Towards the improvement of my financial situation. God save that guy. That is what is called insincerity. That's what it's called. That's one part of double-mindedness. One part of double-mindedness, we discussed this one before, is when your heart is saying one thing and your mouth is saying another. Do you understand my point? Your heart is saying one thing and your mouth is saying another. Let's talk about those material things again. A car, a house, anything in life, materially. A young man can be praying and praying and praying and praying. And God says, you know the problem? Competition. Envy. Jealousy. And that's what James was talking about. I always say something which God helped me with. You know, what I give as illustrations a lot of times is that a man wants to, let's talk about cars. I like nice cars, alright? I like, and I know a bit about them. the most expensive cars around are sports cars. You know that? Yeah. So all these big jeeps you see around, somebody driving one huge Land Cruiser, is less than one third. Okay, let's say it's less than half, and I'm sure of that. It's about one third the price of, let's say, of course, a Ferrari is more than three times the price of that Land Cruiser that you are praying for. Do you understand what I'm saying? Uh-huh. But if God places two of them side by side and say, bank, choose one. If he doesn't give us the option of selling it and collecting the balance, I don't like a Ferrari. But you know why? You drive it lying down, almost. The cars are so low, it's designed that you have to recline. It doesn't give me the feeling of being on top of the world that I like. It's a personal thing. Do you get my point? If you see me driving a Land Cruiser, I don't care. That it doesn't. It's not because I want to feel more important than somebody else. Because if you went to a country like America, the man driving the Ferrari is more important than the man who's driving a Land Cruiser. Yes. Because most people don't understand. You drive a Porsche, you have to be respected. Everybody drives a Toyota. You know what I mean? What is Land Cruiser? Everybody can buy one, if you know what I mean. But despite that, it doesn't move my soul personally. I'm talking about personal desires. You can have desires that just plainly based on desires. And if that's the kind of desire you have, it's not motivated. You're not competing with anybody. I'm not going to prove a point to anybody. You just want to be belleful. You know what I mean? You like my English there. Right? You just want to be belleful. Alright? You just want to feel happy in purity like that. You know, God has no problem with it. Really? Really? I've always said it. Suffering is not righteousness. Are you hearing my point? What is it? It's a stage in life. You must be able to enjoy suffering. Is that what the Bible says? Is that what the Bible says? What did it say? It's endurance. So if you pray to God, Lord, I don't want to suffer, it's a good prayer point. That's my point. Yeah, it is. You say, Lord, if you give me this, I will not suffer in this area anymore. It's a very vital prayer point. But if you say, Lord, if you give me this and I drive back to campus, they will know. Ah, God said, this guy don't crease. He don't crease. That is, I can't give him anything. He's absolutely out of his mind. Listen, it takes spiritual maturity to be able to tell yourself the truth. There are people, but they think men are troublesome. No, there are women like that. They just say, these men are troublemakers. They would rather live alone. But because Angela has married, then husband becomes their prayer point. When of Angela? What is concerned with all these troublesome guys? Are you seeing the point I'm making? That's what James meant when he said, don't you see that to be a friend of the world is what? Enmity towards God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, when you want to pray, ask yourself simply because, and when John said, when you pray that, when you, if you ask according to his will, so what some people, well, what some of us think is that we'll go and pray and say, God, is it thy will that I should have this or not? No, that's not a wrong prayer entirely, except that it's hard to interpret the answer. If God says yes, no, you know, I told you there's a material I'm working on. Please, I'll make sure, let me write it down now so that I don't forget. Because I really must finish it. I've explained it again and again the last few weeks here. Talking about how God speaks to people. If God can say yes, and in all honesty, do you know it means nothing? If I say this, it sounds funny. God can say yes and no at the same time, and they mean the same thing. If you want to insist on hearing him say something. That's why it was possible for God to tell Balaam, yes, no. And then he came back and Balaam heard yes. God didn't say yes, Balaam heard yes. That's the way I understand it. He said, but the Bible says that God said, that, you see, that's looking at it from the angle of Balaam. Because if God really said yes, why should God stay on the road to behead him? Do you understand the logic? So that's why some of the time you kneel down, God, speak. Do you follow my point? He doesn't just say anything. Because whatever I say now doesn't have any meaning, really. Why am I saying so? When John said, if we ask according to his will there is not Should I have this thing or not have it? What John meant is that there is a will of God. Let me just give the opposite. For example, jealousy is not the will of God. Are you getting my point? Vainglory is not the will of God. Desire to show off is not the will of God. And let me say it again. Let's not allow the world send us into competition. He said, because you want to not say, okay, yes, yeah, because you are an evil man, and evil men go home during Christmas. I like it about men, they don't go home during Christmas, so you are not under pressure. Christmas time, you go home anytime. Can go home during Christmas. If you don't come, doesn't matter. It's only your mother that will miss you. Do you understand? The village will miss you. Who knows whether you come or not anyway? So don't. So you now desire yourself, say, I will show them that God can bless a Christian also. So you are planning to watch the next Christmas. So that the glory, hallelujah. You know, a lot of confused pastors are preaching it. God will take the glory and shine it upon you. And what he's saying is that you said you will join the rat race of the unbelievers from your village. And God does not play that kind of game. Long ago I discovered, you know, before as a young believer, I used to wonder, how God, you neither sleep nor slumber, but you did sleep when Bill Gates became the richest man in the world. You know that kind of attitude. You're like, God, but you never sleep or slumber. So, but did you fall asleep suddenly and Bill Gates became rich while you were sleeping? No, God, it is not true. It must not happen. The children of the bond woman must not be lord over the children of the free woman. You'll be quoting all kind of quotation in prayer. God is looking at this boy. He said, you don't understand. I don't compete with anybody. My God can do it. He said, I'm not in doubt. I'm just not interested. Do you want to be rich? Say yes, sir. Don't ask me why Bill Gates is richer than you. What's your problem? Who told you he's rich? Forbes. Yes, it's a magazine that told you he's rich. He said, have you come to ask me what I think of the amount of money he has? You have not. So please forget the idea. I don't get involved in competition. So drop the prayer point of saying that the God is the richest. And then people are, you know, Islam has confused a lot of Christians. They are prospering. It's because of this. We like copying Islamic methods. That these are the principles that Muslims became very rich. So Christians will queue up to copy Islamic. I said, look at confusion. You've heard my prophecy about the Middle East before, you know? Let nobody go and learn Islamic principles because you think they are rich. No. Because you see, I am not competing on who's the richest. Therefore, brethren, when you want to pray, when John said praying according to his will, what it means is that part of your prayer points, the part of your prayer motivations must not be anything competitive. So once you rise in prayer and start quoting for God, dear Lord, you know my friend, Mike, he has done this. My friend Fred, he has done this. My friend Andrew, he has done this. Philip, Bartholomew, even Judas has done this. Because you never start. And you never start. You don't know what is driving you yet. How to pray properly. That's what we're talking about. It's simple. You know, I said something to us before. Let me repeat it. That James said, pray without doubting. And that when we use the word doubt, there are different ways we look at faith. We look at faith, number one, as faith towards God. So let him ask in faith, all right? Not doubting, without any doubt. You can look at faith as faith towards God. That's true, that's faith. But in that context, I don't believe that's what James was saying. James was talking about faith in yourself. And I don't mean concerning that towards yourself now. What I mean, faith within you, that's a better word. Concerning the thing that you are asking. And when you see him talking about double-minded, that you have not even made up your mind. What I mean is this. You know, the other day, my wife wanted to select clothes for her children. She said, my husband, look at these two. Which one do you think is better? The green one or the ash-colored one? After a while, I said, the green one. He said, you think so? I said, yes. He said, why do you think so? You want to know the real reason why I think so? She said, yes. I said, because that was the first one you said is fine. I said, as far as I am concerned, these are children's clothes. The two of them look the same. the same design, the same everything, just different colors.